Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Hey, obviously there's a lot of stuff on the agenda for tomorrow night, and I want to get to as much of it as we can. One thing that I want to start with a little bit is the reimagined Palafox, or what you guys are now calling the new Palafox. I was just explaining at great length, I'm sure maybe too much length for some people's taste, that the stormwater improvements necessitate completely regrading the road, which is why you're going to have to redo all the curbs and everything that's next to the curbs between the curb, new or old, and the existing 6 foot next to the buildings. I've been doing that, but one of the questions that somebody texted in and says, is where does the stormwater go? If it can handle an inch of rain, where does that inch of rain go? Is it going to be processed like through one of these vortex vaults? Is it just going to go straight out into the bay? Does it just sit there and wait to get evaporated? Because we got the Hollis T. Williams project and the way that's going to manage stormwater. You tell me. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, my amateur understanding of this is brought to you by there's more water investment happening in the city of Pensacola than in the history of our city. So right now, so I can't get out of giving you this expertise without bragging about that. But between Hollis Williams, Palafox, Main Street, Langley on the way, we've got tens of millions, if not eclipsing, getting close to a nine-digit number on stormwater. So to understand Palafox, this is what you have to understand. It can take 93,000 gallons. And what that means is hypothetically on the construction area, we could dump instantaneously 1 inch of rain on the entire set of Palafox and it would be into the pipes. So just the existence of the pipes, that doesn't count that the water's moving through the pipes, right? So that doesn't mean that anything after an inch is now going to be a flood. What we're saying is there's 93,000 gallons of increased capacity underground immediately. And I think one really easy way to look at it is right now, there's 12 storm drains along Palafox Street in this project area, four or five blocks. In that project area, there's 12 places for water to go. The road is flat, to your point. Right now, it is dead flat, which means water sits. It doesn't go to the drain. It sits on the ground, and if you look at our ADA ramps, anytime it rains, there's a huge puddle. And so what happens here is we go from 12 to 44. So if you water in a bucket and there's 12 holes versus 44 holes, which one's going to move water out quicker? And that's ultimately what's happening. But to do that, to your point, and listen, there's been opponents of this that have romanticized this idea that it's only for aesthetics or that there's no other values to this. In my mind, the ADA compliance, of which we are grossly underwhelming in terms of Palafox's ADA compliance,
right,
as well as the capability to move this water. And yes, it will be moved and treated. So we're not allowed to build stormwater that just dumps out into the bay immediately. It has to go through a treatment process. And that's for any stormwater project that we work on. So if you're down at and you see that is all of that water must be treated in some way before it enters the bag.
I figured that was the answer, but I just, somebody asked and I didn't know for sure. And that's why I wanted to check with you. And that's a great comfort also that it's not just like an inch total. It's an inch by it's immediately an inch and then it's going to move that water out. So you have, capacity per hour that is vastly different than what you have right now on Palafox, which again, that with the ADA, those are big deals. Another question that has come up, and this is such a tiny little question, but I think it's just I want to make sure. The issue of the square intersections rounded at the edges with a round donut in the middle that Brad Hinode explained, the city engineer explained, is meant to be visually discouraging speed. But, a question that came up, and I didn't know the answer, so I want to ask. But there will still be stop signs. We're not just depending on passive traffic control measures. There will still be stop signs, yes?
Yeah, to put it simply, think about it this way. If you come to a stop sign and you see something that doesn't look like a big, wide interstate level highway, it's going to just naturally tell your brain to slow down. That is all. Those are not roundabouts. They're not. They are to make the driver think for a second, therefore slow down before they go through. So absolutely, they remain four-way stops. You can drive straight. There's no issues with parades being able to fit through. That has all been vetted since the beginning and that's why, really at the, and I'm certainly appreciative of the majority of council's support on this, That's why I really wanted to manage up staff in the fact that I've been in these 22, 20, 24 meetings that just I've been in. I couldn't even count. I bet it's got to be 100 meetings that Brent Highnote, our city, has been in on this project.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard, you know, as I defend my staff, it's kind of hard to hear, you know, kind of peanut gallery comments of like, why didn't you think about this? Or why isn't that paver that color? Not because those aren't fair questions for folks that haven't been in 100 meetings. So I get it. But the reality is so many of these things have been vetted and looked at again and value engineered and all that. And so I just kind of hate that line of logic, or again, you know, especially from folks that maybe don't want to see even, because that is a wild presumption that these things have not been vetted, you know, completely. So you know, in the case of the traffic circle, yeah, there is no impediment to the normal four-way stop. The idea is to make you think for a split second, which means you might drive a little bit slower through that intersection.
It's all of the things we talk about in terms of, you know, road dieting through visual. You know, you drive slower on a street where there's lots of cars. You drive slower on a street where there's lots of trees. When you can see it wide open, you drive faster because you feel safer. And the idea is to create a kind of not ugly visual clutter that makes you slow down and, you know, just behave a little bit better. You know, usually you and I don't talk an awful lot about what's on the agenda because, you know, frankly, a lot of times there isn't a lot. But there are a lot of very interesting things on the agenda for tomorrow night. This is one that caught my attention. Let's start with the one that's a little awkward for you to answer, and then we'll talk about the one that I think is fascinating. Somebody, Charles Baer, is proposing to give you a $34,000 raise in order to put your pay in line with the formula that had been passed previously and that the city council already operates on. I guess there was a thing that maybe was done under Grover Robinson that kind of held the pay back. Do you want to get paid more? Is this your item? It doesn't even go into effect until after the next election, right?
Well, to be fair, ever since I signed up this job, it certainly has not been about pay. And you'll have to ask Charles Baer, you know, for the conspiracy theorists that say that this is, you know, I would just point to the sponsor and how he typically votes on things that I want to have happen in the city. So
I actually wondered, you know, if maybe this wasn't Charles trying to make you look bad by offering you a pay raise. He would not do that. Okay. He's not that kind of person. But anyway, so.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm not focused, nor have I taken this job based on what it pays. To somebody that needs to be in this job, that wakes up and eats and breathes how we make this a better community. So, you know, any council member can put any item they want, and whatever happens to that happens. I would defer to the sponsor on that.
By the way, just FYI, I don't think we can fix it at this point, but your phone is cutting out a little bit. So if I ever talk over you, that's why. I'm not trying to be rude. The one that caught my attention that I thought was the most interesting, there's an agenda item that would require every private parking lot owner to post a very, and it's specified like 140-point font. Like, it's very clear what the sign would be to say this is not a city lot, they can't use city logos on their bills, they have to have all kinds of very particular details on the signs in the private lots to try to amplify the clarity that these are not the city-owned lots. Interesting suggestion.
Yeah, it's out of preserving my own sanity, Andrew, because every week I get an email that says, I can't believe you charge $15 an hour. And so the reality is we want to be able to clearly delineate that. The state legislature last year passed a bill, of which I support, that requires private lot owners to things. You can guess what happened next, Andrew.
Yeah.
What happened next is they assume everybody has a microscope that they bring in their car with them to read the sign that meets the language of the state legislature. So if you drive to any private lot, there's a sign there. Now, I can't read it. I mean, unless I'm about 6 inches from it, and it's like the Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, that you just can't read anything on it. And so we're going to provide clarity. If clarity is not going to be provided, and again, as you well know, Andrew, the entire model of private parking is built to confuse people to make it think it's the same.
Right.
That's why their tickets say municipal parking on them. It's no other reason to vilify the mayor or the city and scare people to pay a ticket that has no legal authority of what you even have to pay. So that being said, then let's have clarity then. If you want to – listen, it's your right as a private lot owner to that's your property. You can do that. You're legally allowed. That being said, there's going to be a black and white sign, literally, very much in black and white, that's going to say, this is not the city. Here's the owner. Here's their cell phone number. Here's their email, whatever the case may be. So, you know, I even thought about putting a line, please don't call the mayor, but I thought that was selfish of me. But I was close
Yeah, no, the sign, I'm actually looking. The sign is actually on page 3,260 of the backup materials for the council meeting tomorrow night. It says, this property is not operated by a governmental entity. All vehicles are required to pay for parking as indicated on signage throughout the parking property. Charges for noncompliance, then it has a place where they put them. Grace period has a place to put them. Appeal process subject to Florida statute. Inquiries or complaints, and it has the phone number and the email address. Property owner, and it has the name and phone number of the, you know, like, this is a everything but don't call the mayor. I agree with you. So, no, I, you know, this seems smart.
We ran out of room, Andrew, at the bottom. But it's going to now we'll be able to go tell our constituents, our visitors, that if there's that big black and white sign out front that says this is not a city lot, then that should be much easier to see now than kind of the joke of a sign that all the sign.
Just a technical question. Would that apply to people who open up like their lawns and stuff on special events and let people park? You know, it's not an official setup like the red lots used to be.
Correct. This would be, with the falls under the statute, which is the paid parking system. Obviously, someone with parking in their front yard for a game or something like that one time a year, I mean, that's not going to be.
Meant like, you know, because people charge for that sometimes, and I just didn't know if this would fall under that. Sounds like it would not, which is, you know, good. There was one of the, just a very quick thing. CRA on Monday voted down the Baptist money. What happened?
We're moving forward.
Oh, okay. All right. I must have read that wrong. So I didn't watch that meeting.
That was voting on the demolition contract. And so coming back in December, we'll have the advisor for the city on board to help us with kind of the future planning and development.
So, okay, so that's all moving forward fine. Okay, I just completely read that wrong. That's my fault. I apologize. Very good. And the Quinn Studer offer. Have you heard from, because it seems to me like business owners would now be able to say, well, I had been worried about lost business and I might still be, but we have at least some kind of a safety net aside from the $1 million the city's putting up that is going to help people through this time, right?
Yeah, exactly. And listen, this is an unprecedented investment by the city. When people read Facebook and maybe don't click on the, you know, that pesky article, what normally happens is people will say, oh, well, I can't believe the mayor's asking property owners to help or for private, you know, investment and things like this to get off the sideline, which, of course, I did not ask Quint for this, and he's very generous to do it. Doesn't surprise me knowing him the way I know him. But you know, we're putting well over $1 million of investment up. Which road project have we ever done that? And so this is not just, hey, will other people help the city get this infrastructure project done?
Right.
The city is stepping up in an unprecedented way. And those types of offers and efforts, and not from other landlords that are, you know, delaying rent, lowering rent, you know, temporarily. And again, Quint mentioned even in his own building, he's told people they don't have to pay this year. Which I thought was extremely generous.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so the property owners that stand to have a benefit of this finished product, I feel like the city is leaning on them, myself in my position, leaning on them to kind of help make this happen. Listen, when they repaid North Palafox, Andrew, years ago, they charged an assessment by linear foot to property owners. And Dan Lindemann will be very quick to tell you that. You know, paid about $5,000 in 1994 for just a simple repaving. So, you know, that we didn't go that way, but this very much invested in this, and we aren't asking of others what we aren't putting up ourselves between part between the bonus to get done quickly, the $100,000 in marketing, and any other thing. So,
that you guys said that the $700,000 of the bonus, if that doesn't get paid, that would be available to remediate for businesses as well. It's kind of either going to pay the developer done early, or it's going to pay the businesses to offset the losses from that extended time. We always like to end with a quick frivolous topic. A couple of questions for you. The lightning round. First one is, on your bed, how many pillows?
Seven. I would choose two.
Right.
It might be eight. I may have just glazed over. I'm trying to think.
I gotcha. Are your hands clean after you pet your dog or cat?
Well, I guess when I hang out, yes, I'm not worried about them. You know, I'm not worried about whatever my dog carries, but I guess I need a good wash if I'm going to go shake hands with strangers.
If you're eating like at the table and the dog comes over and you pet the dog, do you get up to go wash your hands?
No, okay. I mean, what kind of? How much? There's 24 hours in a day. Right?
That's exactly right.
It builds
exactly
immune
right.
system, whatever the case may be.
All right, and when you open a bag of chips and you do not finish all the chips, what do you then do to protect the chips from the Florida air?
I have some people would call it lazy. I have this technique where you roll the bag and then roll the edge of it onto itself.
Okay.
You know, instead of going to find a chip clip.
Okay, and then you just trust like gravity or physics somehow to push up against the wall kind of thing?
Correct. And when you go back to get some more, then you may not do it as solidly as you did the first time. and then that means you have to eat them quicker because they may go stale.
Right. But that's just a motive to enjoy them better, right, at the front end. So that's all right.
Exactly.
Perfect.
That's
great. Mayor D.C. Reeves, looking forward to the meeting tomorrow night. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.